been for the last several weeks. We've been talking about having stability in these dangerous times in which we live. Can I get an amen? We need stability in these dangerous times. And thank God that we can have it through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is one thing that we have all become accustomed to in this day of technology. It is a navigation system called a GPS, Global Position System. That's what it stands for, right? It is a space-based navigation system that provides location, provides time information in all weather conditions anywhere on the earth because it gets a satellite feed. A GPS can get you where you need to go when you don't know how to get there on your own. Funny story about GPS. I was at our annual ministers conference for our ministers organization. This was probably about seven or eight years ago now. And, you know, I didn't, of course, we all have it on our phones today. We have them in our cars. I have one in my truck. Have it on my phone. But at that particular time, I had one of the Garmin's, portable. You know, and GPS, you know, it wasn't as popular at that point as it is now. So I was in Hamilton, Ohio. And I was driving. I had driven to the minister's conference. And I was going to drive back to New Orleans. And I wanted to, we have been connected to a ministry called Pure Life Ministries. That's a men's ministry that ministers specifically to men who are caught up in pornography and the bondage of pornography. It is an incredible ministry that they do. I had met the founder of the ministry, and we actually hosted several years ago, we hosted a Call to Purity weekend here at the church. And I was in Hamilton, Ohio, coming back to New Orleans, and I had to go through Kentucky, and the ministry is in Kentucky. They have a huge location, you know, with buildings, and, you know, they have a live-in program where men actually come and live there for 6 months. It's just an incredible thing that they do. And I wanted to go tour the facility. So I punched in my GPS, the location, you know, the address. And it got me there, kind of. Because I got off the main highway and I took a couple of country roads. And then I got on a little small path. And the GPS, how many of you know it's good to have a GPS that talks to you? I like it to talk to me. And the GPS says you have arrived at your location. And I looked to my left, and all I saw was cows. And I looked to my right, and all I saw was more cows. But the GPS said you have arrived at your location. Well, not everything is pinpoint perfect. I said, well, I've got to be close. So I just kept driving. Actually, I called the number of the guy that I was in contact with because they knew I was coming. And he said, you're almost there. He said, you just got to keep on the same road. Just come down about another mile, and you'll run right into us. And sure enough, came down and put me right there. Just the GPS got me a little bit away from the point of destination. But it did get me there. You know, so a GPS is an incredible thing, is it not? When you don't know how to get where you're going, you need a GPS. Now there are two things that are required for the effectiveness of a GPS. Number one, it must have an unobstructed line of sight. So if you go through a tunnel, you can't get a signal on a GPS. Second thing that it must have, you must have a GPS receiver. Now I think of that in the realm of the spiritual. And in the realm of the spiritual, the Word of God gives us our vision. It gives us the unobstructed line of sight of the message of the gospel. The GPS receiver would be our spirit. To receive from God, we receive from Him in our spirit. Our spirit must be open and receptive to receive from God. Now, as we have been preaching about having stability to navigate through these times, I believe there are things that you and I need as well. There are two primary things that we need to have stability in our lives. And I want to give you the verse of Scripture that I want to minister from today. Isaiah 33, verse 6. Isaiah 33, 6, it says, "Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times, and the strength of salvation, and the fear of the Lord is His treasure." What an incredible statement. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. This is the only verse in all of Scripture where we find this word stability. It's only found right here in Isaiah 33, 6. But these two things, wisdom and knowledge. And I want to talk to you about those things today because they are going to be key dynamics to help us navigate through this life in which we live, these dangerous times in which we find ourselves. So, first of all, we must understand the times. How many of you know it's important to understand the times in which we live? How many of you realize that's important? Okay, well, the rest of you might realize it before the service is over today. But it's very important that we understand the times, that we know where we are in God's calendar. So this word times that we find in Isaiah 33, 6, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. I want you to notice that word, that word times, very important word. It comes from this very small Hebrew word that literally means a particular time, a season, an age, an occasion, or a period of time. All right, so that's what it means. It refers to a particular season, a particular age. We would call it the last days from the Word of God. Bible refers to it as the last days. That we are in what is called the age of God's grace, the age of the Spirit, the age where the gospel is being preached and people respond and they get saved and they get born again and they are ushered into the kingdom of God. We are in that age when Jesus said, "Go and preach the gospel to all nations and make disciples." We are in that time. The Bible refers to it as the last days. It is the last time period before the second coming of Jesus Christ. Thank God that we are in the last days. Thank God that we don't have to live here forever. Can I get an amen? Thank God that we are in this particular time. So the Bible says we should understand the season that we are in, the time that we are in. Now, the word times, this small Hebrew word, comes from an even smaller Hebrew root word. And that word means this: a peremptory terminus, an expressive command of urgency, the end of the line, a finishing point. All of these are biblical definitions of this word times. Now, we see this term, a peremptory terminus, peremptory, a person's manner or actions insisting on immediate attention or obedience. Who knows what Nike means? What is their slogan? Just do it. Well, that is a peremptory usage. That's an illustration of something peremptory. Just do it. You know, it's a direct command. You know, just do it. That's what peremptory means. A person's manner, their actions, insisting immediate attention or obedience. Then the word terminus simply means a final point. So you put it together. What is the definition? An expressive command. God is giving us a peremptory terminus. He has given us an expressive command of urgency. Hallelujah. That requires obedience. Why? Because we are nearing the end of the line. We are nearing a point of finality. And most people in our world don't even realize it. Don't even understand it. That we are in this time. So we must understand the times. Jesus tried to get this message into the lives of his disciples when he said, communicated to them the sense of urgency. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, because the night comes when no man can work. Because this life as we know it, it has a point of termination. All of us have a point of termination. Do we not? All of us. We have a point of termination. When this life as we know it will be over, it will be finished. But thank God, if Jesus Christ is living on the inside, he that lives and believes in me shall never die, is what Jesus said. Yeah, the body must die, but the life is going to continue in the kingdom of God, because we will be just like him. So my friends, it is imperative, and God has given us this peremptory command of urgency, that we should be more sold out to God than we've ever been, more committed than we've ever been, more on fire than we've ever been, more passionate than we've ever been, because the only thing that matters is what we accomplish for the kingdom in this life. Because it's going to all be over, and the kingdom of God will be forever and ever and ever. So yes, we must understand the times. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability. So in these times, God gives us a promise that we can be stable. Our mind can be clear. Our spirit can be strong. We can have clarity of purpose and direction of where we are going. It is vital that we understand the times. Now I want to share with you two societies of the terminal generation. Jesus talked about them. And we find both of these societies mentioned in the Gospel of Luke chapter 17. And I want to just share those with you. Gospel of Luke chapter 17, Jesus said this in beginning in verse 26. He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. My friends, there is going to be a day of judgment on this earth. The Word of God is very clear on that, that there is going to be what is called the day of the Lord. And Paul implored his listeners with that message, that they would understand that, that there is going to be a day of reckoning. We live in a time where a lot of people don't believe that. Most people don't believe that. That's why they live their lives the way they do. But God says there is going to be a day of reckoning. Two societies of the terminal generation. He talks about the society of Noah and the society of Lot. Now, the society of Noah, if you go into Genesis chapter 6, it tells us in the time of Noah that the earth was corrupt before God and it was filled with violence. How many of you realize we are in a violent, violent time? I mean, violence is all around us. You know, the scary thing about it is that all that we see on the news, all that we might read in the newspapers, that is only a small percentage of what is really taking place. So there's only a small percent. I don't know what the percentage is that's reported, but there is only a small percentage of what is happening that is reported in the daily news. Only a small portion of it. So that's kind of scary. You know, and if we allow our minds to dwell on those things, then immediately we could become gripped with a spirit of fear. But I mean, we see it. I mean, all the violence that is taking place, the acts of terrorism, the murderous rampages that are taking place. I mean, there are parents killing their children, and I'm not talking about abortion here. We know the evil of that. I'm talking about parents killing their young children, teenagers killing their parents. I mean, we are in a generation of extreme violence, and that is exactly what characterized the days of Noah. The earth was corrupt before God, and it was filled with violence. Then we have the society of Lot. Now we think of the story of Lot in the city of Sodom, and immediately we think about sexual immorality. But there is something in the Word of God that is just very eye-opening to me. And I want to share that with you. It's found in the Old Testament prophet, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16. An Old Testament prophet. The thing about Old Testament prophets, they didn't hold back. They simply spoke it like it was. They didn't try to candy coat it. They didn't try to sugarcoat it. They just stated it. They just declared it. That's what made them a prophet. They were not trying to build their ministry. They were not trying to bring in offerings through their television time. They simply spoke it as they saw it, and they declared it. And we have one of those prophetic words right here in the book of Ezekiel, the Old Testament prophet of God. And he says this in chapter 16. Ezekiel 16, verse 49. He says, look, or we could say, listen. This was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw fit. Now we read in Luke 17, and we read this in Ezekiel 16, and we don't find any mention about sexual immorality. But what we do find, what is revealed here, is that we find a society that is so totally self-absorbed. It is so rooted in pride and selfishness. And it says that their spirit is haughty. That means that they do what they want to do. They make up their own rules. Whatever they want, they do. It is a society that is totally self-absorbed. How many of you see the correlation between these societies and what we see in the world in which we live today? Anybody see it? It's all around us. It's all around us. Totally self-absorbed societies. If you read Luke 17, it says that they simply were doing the things of life. Nothing wrong with marriage. God ordained it. Nothing wrong with eating. You have to eat to live. Nothing wrong with building. We need places to live. I mean, nothing wrong with any of those things. But what the scripture is emphasizing is that there was a total exclusion of God and relationship with God. And it was culture's completely and totally rooted in self-indulgence, pride, and self-centeredness. All you have to do is just get out on the highways. Just look for a little generosity out there on the roads, and you will see real quickly how self-absorbed the culture really is. Because people don't want to give you any grace, right? Now, there are some. We know there's exceptions. You know, there's some nice people out there like me. You know, but, and there's even nicer people than me because there's some people out there like Becky. But aside from that, the rest of it is hell to pay. And y'all know it's the truth. Sometimes I get so frustrated driving on the highways. And sometimes just that old life kind of begins to rise up. And I said, boy, you're lucky. Jesus is living on the inside. Because there was a time that I would throw whatever I could find to throw. I'm serious. There were times, you know, and the guys that I used to hang around with, you didn't get one flat tire, you got four. All four. But that's when you are part of these self-absorbed societies. You know, the guys that I lived and hung out with, you know, we lived with a motive of revenge. You know, and it's not right. I'm not saying it's right. It's wrong. It's sin. But at the time when you don't know any better, you know, you are just like these cultures. You are self-absorbed. But thank God when Jesus comes in, He delivers us and sets us free. So now when I drive, I'm just like Mr. Rogers. I'm just as happy, and it's going to be a good day in the neighborhood. Not really. It's a lie. But it sounds good. But y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. We are living in self-absorbed times. Because people don't know God. They don't know the Lord. They don't have the Spirit of Christ. They don't have the nature and character of Christ on the inside of them. So they don't know any better. They just live based upon what's on the inside. See, that's why we have to preach the gospel, because we are in the business of changing what's on the inside. We are in the business of impacting a change on the inside. So God says, He gives us these two dynamics. He promises, God promises wisdom and knowledge for stability. Because how many of you know people can really make you upset? Hello, somebody. If you allow them to get to you, you'll have to pop a sedative to calm your nerves. Or smoke a cigarette to calm your nerves. Come on, y'all know I'm speaking the truth. Come on, somebody. Listen. People can get under your skin. They can get over your skin. They can drive you to no end. Because stability is what's in question. So God says He wants us stable. He doesn't want the signs of these times, the people of this world, those that are immersed in these cultures. He does not want that to rattle our lives. So God promises us wisdom and knowledge for stability. Hallelujah. That I don't have to get riled up. If the saints lose today, I don't have to cry. Did you hear my wife chuckle? I think I've shared this story before, but you know, I've always been a football fan, but I never put it before God. Come on, somebody. But I've always been a football fan. And I remember sitting in our home in Algiers on Merrill Street. It was our first house early in our marriage. I don't remember what year it was, but But it was the year when, and this is funny, because the Saints were playing the Los Angeles Rams. Archie Manning was the quarterback. And I think Archie Manning was the quarterback. And this was the last game of the season. And it was historical because all the Saints had to do was win this one game. It would be the first winning season ever in the history of the team. It would be the first playoff ever, a playoff berth ever in the history of the team. I mean, there was a lot on the line. And I was like, man, we are going to win this game today. And the Saints had a great game until the last 5 seconds. And this barefooted kicker for the Los Angeles Rams comes out barefooted. I was like, how is this guy? Does anybody remember this game? Yes, yes. How's this guy going to kick a 40-something yard field goal with his toes? Bare toes. Mike Lansford. And it was the last play of the game, and they lined up, and that shoeless man kicked that ball, and it went through the uprights, and the Los Angeles Rams won the game. And I sat there on the carpet of my living room, tears streaming down my eyes. My wife looked at me, and it was at that moment I knew I had to change. That was ridiculous. Right? All of my stories are true. But that's not going to happen today, praise God. I'm a lot more stable now than I was back then. God promises wisdom and knowledge. So going back to our verse in Isaiah chapter 33, God gives us the promise, and what an incredible promise. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your time. So let's take that word stability. That word stability comes from this Hebrew word that means firmness, security, fidelity, steady, truth. So God wants our lives to be firm. He wants our lives secure. He wants us in fidelity. And we all understand the usage of that word because we have a lot of infidelity in the world in which we live. Come on, somebody. So God wants us pure and dedicated in our marriage relationships. Fidelity. So he wants my life firm. He wants my life secure. He wants me to be pure. He wants me to be steady. And he wants me to be rooted in truth. That's the biblical definition for the word stability. So how is that produced? Wisdom and knowledge. Now, the Webster's Collegiate Dictionary gives us this definition for stability. And there's several definitions. The first one is resistant to sudden change. Resistance to sudden change, dislodgement, or overthrow. Second definition, it's got two parts. A, it means constancy of character or purpose, steadfastness. B, it means reliability or dependability. Man, how much do we need that in our homes, in our families, in the local church? Man, how much do we need this stability? Someone who is, you know, who is resistant to sudden change, dislodgement, or overthrow. Why? Because they are stable. There is a constancy in their character. There is steadfastness. They are reliable and they are dependable. Man, what incredible characteristics of stability. What an incredible definition from Webster's Collegiate World Dictionary of the word stability. God promises wisdom and knowledge for stability. So if he promises wisdom and knowledge, then how do we get it? How do we become wise? How do we have wisdom? Now, we understand that there is the wisdom of men. We don't need that. And there's the wisdom of God. We need that. The wisdom of men might impart certain things to us that are helpful, but the wisdom of God can impart things to us that are eternal based, of eternal value. And God is smarter than the smartest man in all the world. He's smarter than Bill Gates. He created Bill Gates. He's smarter than Jeff, what's his last name? The guy that created Amazon. You know, I mean, that's some smart guys, right? I mean, there's a lot of smart people in our world. You know, they have wisdom, the wisdom of men. You know, and that can do so much, but the wisdom of God is what produces stability. It's not the wisdom of men. Even Paul said, he said, my preaching and my teaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it was in demonstration of the power of God, that your faith might stand in Christ, that it might stand in God, rooted in God. Because the world at large is not rooted. These cultures full of violence and full of immorality and full of self-centeredness and all of those things, they are not rooted in God. But God promises us His wisdom. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your time. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your time. So how do I get it? How do I get it? Well, the Bible tells us how to get it. Let's go to Ephesians 1:16. Ephesians 1:17 tells us this. Now, we also know in the book of James, it says, if we lack wisdom, that we should ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. In other words, He doesn't withhold it. If we ask of wisdom, He's going to impart it. He's going to give it. But I love this statement in verse 17. Ephesians 1:17. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is a prayer for spiritual wisdom. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. He goes on and he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. God gives the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. What an incredible verse of Scripture. Now, what He is defining here, He is defining what we call spiritual wisdom, or what the Bible teaches us is spiritual wisdom. Because we're talking about the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to navigate this life. So the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, it is defined this way. Spiritual wisdom is defined this way. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to make you responsive to the will of God. You can't do the will of God without the inward work of the Holy Spirit imparting wisdom to you. You can go to church on Sundays. You can even financially support the ministry. You can even say prayers. But there must be, my friends, there must be an inward, there is an inward work of the Holy Spirit that makes you responsive to the will of God. Consider this. Even Jesus said that no one could come to Christ unless he was first of all drawn in. He had to be drawn by God through the power of the Holy Spirit. See, we don't come to church just because we think it's a nice place to assemble and, you know, an opportunity to dress nice and show off our latest clothing, especially after Black Friday.
Right?
We are here because there's something on the inside that draws us. There's something on the inside that is moving us. There's something on the inside that is motivating. There is a drawing. And that's why even Paul said it this way. He said, it is the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. You don't repent of your own accord. Are y'all with me? He said, it's the goodness of God. There is something happening on the inside of you. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. He draws people. He draws them and draws them and draws them. And then we have to make the decision. We have to respond. How can someone respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ? They can only respond because of the work of the Holy Spirit making them responsive to the will of God. See, this is what spiritual wisdom is. Spiritual wisdom is a guiding force that is not of your own making. Spiritual wisdom and the impartation of this wisdom to produce stability is what God does on the inside. God promises wisdom and knowledge, and He brings it into action by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the spirit of wisdom is a dispensation, a disposition of godliness that is reflected in our lives by spiritual mind renewal. We have to renew our minds based upon truth. Our mind must understand truth. This is why I emphasize over and over and over and over again the importance of the local church. And we need the local church. Now, we know the church can't save anybody. But navigating through these times, you know, we must have our kids with the impartation of God's truth in their minds. Up here, renewing their minds. You know, if you were raised in church, which I was not, but if you were fortunate enough to be raised in church, raised in the house of God, where the things of God were taught, there was a ministry that was called Sunday School. And in Sunday School, our children learned all of the stories of the Bible. They learned all of the stories. They understood those incredible truths of God's Word. We even used to sing songs that were rooted. We had hymn books. Come on, somebody. Amen? We had hymn books that were rooted in doctrinal truth. Now, I'm not trying to make a plea to bring back hymn books into the church today. But there were truths that were communicated, that were sung over and over and over and over again. And it worked in the process of mind renewal in the lives of the young. I remember that song. There's a song, and we sing it in the worship services. And I believe it's a Hillsong song. And it talks about Jesus brought heaven down, right? Y'all know the song of Jesus brought heaven down. What is it? We just sang it this morning. Where was I? I was just caught up in glory. Hallelujah. Okay. Yeah, that's good. We sang that this morning. All right, so y'all know what I'm talking about. Now, you know, there's a lot of people in the Christian ranks that kind of criticized that song. That he brought heaven to earth, you know, and they say that's doctrinally unstable. We'll stick with our word stability. You know, however, one of the classic hymns of the faith, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Right? Anybody familiar with that? Heaven came down and glory filled. Isn't it the same thing? I think it's the same thing. Same concept. Same truth. Heaven came down. Jesus came down. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. See, there are truths, and our minds must be renewed with those truths of God, rooted in Scripture, based in the Word of God. And, you know, hardly any more, any churches today have Sunday school anymore. You know, it's kind of a, you know, a bygone ministry. I know there's still some denominational churches that have it, but you know, if whatever ministry we have, however we do ministry, whether it's in the teenagers or the tweens or the toddlers, we must be getting them the message of the Word of God renewing their mind, because that is what works to impart the disposition of godliness imparted by spiritual mind renewal. See, the spiritual wisdom we're talking about, it enables us to grasp the greatness of the hope and inheritance that is in Christ. This is why it is such a stabilizing force in our lives. This is what Ephesians 1:17 is teaching us. He says that we may have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of our spiritual understanding would be enlightened, so that we will know the hope. We would grasp the hope of the riches of His inheritance. Thank God. We're talking about the real nitty-gritty of the gospel here. And we need it now more than ever. Because without this stabilizing force, without this inward work of the Holy Spirit, listen, we become inactive, we have become cold, we are lifeless. You can't have life, you can't have spiritual life if there is no inward work of the Holy Spirit imparting that wisdom to you. And that's why so many people have no spiritual GPS. They don't know where they're going. God says we should not be like that. We should not be like that. We should know who we are, and we should know where we're going. Amen. That we are pressing toward the goal, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We forget all of the things that are behind us. Forget all of the past. Man, listen, if you live in this world and begin to look at all the things going on in this world, I'm telling you, it'll mess with your mind. And that's why you got to keep your mind renewed. You got to keep your mind in the Word of God. We must have this disposition of godliness reflected, this spirit of wisdom that is working on the inside of us. Even this morning as I was praying, I lifted my hands at home. I lifted my hands and I asked God, Lord, I want a greater inward work of the Holy Spirit in my life, to move forward, to advance. I don't want to stay status quo. I don't want to, listen, I've been a student of the Bible for 41 years. So what? I don't want to be stuck in one position. I want to be in a position where I am growing, moving, advancing, pressing. There's more and more and more and more. And I am believing God. I love this statement in the Word. And I'm kind of giving you a sermon series that's probably coming up. When He said, ask of me rain in the days of the latter rain. And I said, God, I want rain in the days of the latter rain. Hallelujah. I want rain. He's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. He's talking about an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We need that kind of force. We need that power. Because without it, without that inward work of God, we are spiritually cold, dead, dry, inactive, lifeless. But when that Spirit of God is working and imparting that wisdom, He is directing our path. And when He is directing your path is going to be stable. Your path is going to be secure. Your path is going to be solid. Let me give you the last and final thing here, the enrichment of knowledge. Because He said these are the two things. And I know my time is away from me, so I can't spend a lot of time on this one. But I want to give it to you real quick, and I want to give you some scripture to illustrate what we're talking about. The enrichment of knowledge. See, the knowledge of God is obtained by relationship. Nobody knows me like this woman knows me. She knows me. She knows everything about me. Why? Because we've been in covenant relationship for almost 40 years. That's a long time. Almost makes me feel like an old man. Might even dye my hair. I don't know. Hallelujah. I don't feel old. I feel young. I really do. I feel energized. You know, they say age is a state of mind. I always say this. There's no age in the spirit. Keep your spirit strong, you'll keep your body strong, I guess. I don't know. It sounds good anyway. Hallelujah. I don't know if it's biblical, but praise God. But I want the enrichment of knowledge. Look at what this says. Man, this is incredible stuff. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. He said, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by Him, in all utterance and knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation. See, there's the hope right there. There's the expectation. We are waiting for the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, the terminus that we were talking about. And he says, who will also confirm you to the end. He will confirm you. Listen to what this says in the Amplified. He will establish you to the end, keep you steadfast, give you strength, guarantee your vindication. He will be your warrant against all accusation or indictment. You will be guiltless and irreproachable in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, reliable, trustworthy, therefore ever true to His promise, and He can be depended on. And by Him you are called into companionship and participation with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Called into companionship. See, the reason why my wife knows me better than anybody else is because we have been in companionship for almost 40 years. Relationship, covenant relationship in the bond of marriage. God is telling us that if you want knowledge, if you want this stabilizing force of knowledge, it is obtained by relationship. The deeper we go in our relationship, the deeper is our knowledge of the character and nature of God. The word knowledge, what is the root word for knowledge? It is the word know. It is the Greek word genosko. It means to be taking in knowledge, to come to know, to recognize, to understand completely. It denotes the intimacy of a relationship. And that's why Jesus said, I have come so that you might know God. He came to reveal God. He said that you might know God, to have the knowledge of God. Let me give you last and final one right here, and we're going to pray, and we're going to believe God. Colossians chapter 1. This is another great verse of Scripture. Look at what this says. Two verses in particular, verse 10 and verse 11. Colossians 1:10. Man, I love this. I want enriched knowledge. I need enriched knowledge. I want to be a stable person in these dangerous times in which we live. And God gives us the promise. Wisdom, knowledge. Wisdom, knowledge will be the stability of your time. He says, strengthen with all might. Well, that's verse 11. Let me back up. Verse 10. He says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Man, I love that. In verse 11, I love the way the Amplified Bible says this, that you may be invigorated and strengthened with power. Invigorated. Invigorated. Man, I want that kind of invigorating power. Knowledge of God. The enrichment of knowledge. So my friends, it comes down to this. Do you know God? Not do you know about God. Do you know God? Are you in personal relationship with Him? I might be talking to some people here today. You might be stagnant. If you're a married person, your marriage can become stagnant and unstable because you have to continuously build that relationship. You have to continuously spend time together. You have to continuously go places together, do things together. You have to build that relationship. Same thing applies in our walk with God. Are you doing something to increase that knowledge? Or have you reached a point of stagnation? You're not growing. And listen, the world can so deaden us to the things of God. The culture in which we live, we can get so sucked into it. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we're sinning, but just so sucked into our surroundings and all of the world at large that does not know God. And then we stop growing, we stop increasing, we stop, you know, we become stagnated, we stop going deeper. But the knowledge of God, the deeper we go, the deeper is our knowledge, the greater is our understanding. Jesus came so that we can know God, whom alone to know is eternal life. See, we don't need religion. Religion messes people up. We need relationship. Amen? We need relationship. We need a growing relationship with a God who forever lives, whose kingdom is soon coming. And in these times in which we live, and we are surrounded in a world that is full of unstable people. And God says, wisdom and knowledge. It's His gift and it's His promise. He said, those two dynamics will be your spiritual GPS. And it will produce stability. It will make you strong. It will move you forward. It will bless you and prosper you and advance you spiritually in all of the ways of God.